Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
One of our goals as we started the church 5 years ago, and one thing we've been digging back in, I felt like the Lord wanted me to get back into some of our foundational teachings from a few years back, because it's important that we're all on the same page. But the one thing I want us to understand as a church family about Red Life Church, about Redemption Life Church, is this. Red Life Church is never supposed to be, we didn't start this simply to be a place to come together, yet it's a life that God invites us to live. Amen? And it's called the redeemed life, and it's called the red life. So we've been looking at some principles of what it means to live the redeemed life, what it means to be redeemed, what it means to live a life of redemption, or the red life. We've been looking at that the last couple weeks. And we're going to end this series this morning talking about not at all the final part of the red life. Because the reality is, all of our lives, once we meet Jesus, the entirety of our life is about redeeming everything that was lost because of sin. Amen. So our entire lives, once we meet Jesus and begin to follow Jesus, is about redeeming and living the redeemed life. And that area, that applies to every area of our life. And this is the thing I've noticed, is that once I feel like I've got one area under control and one area gets redeemed, and I get one area surrendered to God, and I get that under the blood, and I get that area figured out, and I think, okay, maybe I think I finally made some headway, maybe I finally got somewhere, all of a sudden God will open my eyes to a whole other area of my heart, a whole other area of my life, that God says, okay, now that you've got this redeemed, I want to redeem this area of your heart. I want to redeem this area of your life. Amen? So this is by no means an exhaustive 3-week series on everything that it means to live a redeemed life. Really, everything we talk about on Sunday morning, every time we gather together, every time we look at God's word, we are looking at how to discover areas of our heart that sin has broken, areas of our life that sin has destroyed, that through Christ we can find redeemed. Amen? But we are going to look at one singular area today that I think encompasses really what the red life equates for us, and what the red life offers, what the redeemed life of Christ offers to us. And we're going to look at John chapter 8. We're going to be looking at John chapter 8 around verse 31 through 36. You can follow along on YouVersion. Don't put the scripture up yet, but you can follow along on YouVersion if you want to through the YouVersion Bible app. Click the events tab, and it should be right there, good to go. So we're going to look at John chapter 8. Now, before I read the scripture and we really dig in, I want to set this up for you a little bit, because John, around chapter 6, Jesus shows up. Around chapter 6 through 8, Jesus is actually, his ministry is shrinking. He draws a great crowd around John chapter 5 with the feeding of the 5,000. All of a sudden, thousands of people start to follow Jesus around, because they're thinking, hey, if we follow Jesus around, he's going to give us Happy Meals every day. So he's feeding the 5,000, and miracles are taking place. But then Jesus begins to speak to some specific areas of people's hearts and people's lives. And just like what happens in our life, and just like what happens in our lives today, as Jesus begins to hit on and touch on specific areas that convict people, people begin to fall away and people begin to turn away. Jesus has made some big statements. He said, I'm the living water. And if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. This caused people's head to scratch. In John chapter 7, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. And if you eat this bread, you'll never be hungry again. And this again caused people to scratch their heads and go, this guy doesn't make any sense. He's getting crazy. I was with him when he was giving me the fish filet meal and french fries, but now he's talking about he's the bread of life, and I'm not down with that. And so they turned away, and they went away. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. This again offended people, and they turned away. And then he's here in Jerusalem in John chapter 8, and he's teaching at the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a celebration of the 40 years that the Israelites spent in the Old Testament traveling through the wilderness before they went to the Promised Land under the leadership of Moses. It's a celebration of that time. And so there are many people in Jerusalem. It's a huge religious festival, a huge religious feast. And Jesus is again beginning to teach, and he's going to make some statements that make some people mad. And I want you to hear this. It's very important when you read scripture. You've got to be able to try to hear it the way that the original hearers heard it and saw it, and put yourself in the story so that you can understand and get a fuller concept of what the word is saying. And so I want you to understand that Jesus is talking to religious people. He's talking, in fact, to religious Pharisees, teachers, scribes, priests, leaders of the Jewish faith here in Jerusalem for this temple. He's surrounded by them, and this is what he says to them in John chapter 8, verse 31. We're going to read from 31 to 36. It says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings." Verse 32, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free," or the truth will make you free. "But we are descendants of Abraham," they said. "We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will be set free?" And Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not born a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." Or other translations, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We're going to talk today as we end our time talking about discovering and living the red life is this simple truth, guys, that the red life, the redeemed life, the redemption life that Jesus Christ offers you and I as sons and daughters of God is all about being free indeed. Give your neighbor a high five and say free indeed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you right now in these next few moments that we have today, as we look into your word together, as we search your scriptures together, Lord, I pray, God, that we will have our eyes open, our hearts open, our ears in tune, and God, that we will encounter the living God, the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, as we look at your word together today. And Lord, I pray that you will place like a light bulb in our hearts. God, let a light shine on the inside of our souls today. God, and open our eyes to the truth of what it means to be free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you've ever driven to a circus, you'll see the elephants standing out on the parking lot, right? The elephants will be out on the parking lot, these huge, powerful beasts. But they don't go anywhere. They don't run. They don't move. You know why? Because they got a chain around one of their legs. A little teeny chain with a little teeny peg in the ground that these beasts could rip out any old time they feel like it. Because they got the power. They got the power. All they got to do is jerk that leg and that little peg would come out of that and rip that concrete and tear that chain. But they don't budge. You know why? Because they were taught ever since they were a little baby elephant that when you feel this chain, you have no power. From the time they were born, when you feel this chain on your leg, that means you are nothing, you're nobody, and you don't move. Because you're not here to demonstrate your power, you're here to perform. And we got a lot of Christians who aren't here to demonstrate their power, they're here to perform. And so you come to church on Sunday and you perform, but you don't have any power. You come, you drag in church with this chain on your leg. This chain on your leg, I'm coming to worship God, and I'm coming, and he's able with this chain on your leg. And he's so high you can't get over with this chain on your leg. And he's so wide you can't get around, and you got this chain on your leg. Performing for the circus, and the hell is laughing at you, eating its cotton candy with that chain on your leg. It's time for you to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, get off of me. Let me go. Get that chain off of me. I'm free, and he who the Son sets free is free indeed. You're free. Walk like it. Act like it. Are you free? Are you free? Are you free? Did Jesus make you free? Then walk like it, talk like it, act like it, hold your head up high and be free. He set you free. He set you free.
Turn your neighbor and say free indeed. Free indeed. Free indeed is the state that God has given each and every son and daughter of the Most High who has been redeemed through the blood of Jesus. Free indeed is the state that God has enabled you and empowered you and called you to live in. Free indeed. Free indeed is not something that happens. It is a state of being that I occupy due to my walk and my relationship with Jesus Christ. Free indeed. Everybody say free indeed. You have been, friend, redeemed. In fact, you have been redeemed to live free indeed. It is not God's desire that any chain should hold back the people of God from anything that God has called them to do, to be, to possess, to have. Free indeed is the reason, the purpose which God has redeemed you. Everybody say, I've been redeemed to be free indeed. Say it again, I've been redeemed to be free indeed. Now we've got to understand that this is for you. This is not for someone else. This is not for someone who is better than you. This is not for someone who is more religious than you. This is not for someone who is more spiritual than you. This is not for someone who has been a Christian longer than you. This is not for someone who knows more Bible than you. This is not for someone who prays better than you. This is not for someone who worships better than you, if there is such a thing. This is not for someone who serves more than... Listen, free indeed is for every single person who knows Jesus. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, if you know me, you will be made free, and free indeed. Amen? Say I've been redeemed to be free indeed. Now, this idea of freedom is something that we as Americans, we love to talk about, we love to honor. In fact, it's Memorial Day weekend, and we celebrate, and we honor, and we recognize those who have given all in service of our country, either through the military or through police or through fire. We honor all those who have given their life in service for the freedom so someone else can have that. Amen? And we love to honor that and memorialize that. But then we also have this idea sometimes of freedom that doesn't exactly line up with the biblical idea of freedom. Because sometimes when I say the word freedom, we think freedom means the right to just do whatever we want. I'm free, so I can do whatever I want. I can go where I want. I can say what I want. I can do what I want. I can be with who I want, and I can do anything I choose, and that is freedom. But the reality is that when I live my life with an idea that freedom gives me the ability to just simply do whatever I want, what often ends up happening in my life is I end up in bondage. Because when I give myself over to my sinful fleshly desires and say, I'm just going to do whatever I want. I'm free to do whatever I want. What happens is I give myself over to sin, and that then becomes bondage. Amen? But biblical freedom, listen to me now, biblical freedom comes from my ability to surrender my fleshly desires and my own idea of freedom to what the Word of God says freedom is. You follow me so far? Amen? So before we even begin to understand what Christ died to give us, we've got to understand that the freedom that we're talking about, the freedom that Jesus is talking about, is the freedom that exists in my life being surrendered and my heart being surrendered fully to Christ. Redemption, Jesus, we looked at this back in Colossians chapter 1, we'll reference it again. Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus paid the price for our redemption and transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom of light. Right? Amen? Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Jesus died and he paid the price for our redemption, transferring us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Jesus has redeemed us, and that redemption has set us free from the world's idea of bondage and from the world system. We have been redeemed to a new system, free in a new system. Amen? Amen? Everybody follow me so far? Now, here's what happens so many times in our Christian lives. It's what I've noticed so many times in my life that I beat myself up for, and that drives me crazy, and this is the Christian struggle right here. This is the Christian battle. It's this. Listen to me close. We are often, as children of God, too quick to accept bondage from the world that Jesus has set us free from. We are sometimes so fast to just throw our hands up at our situation and say, well, there's nothing I can do. That's just the way it is. That's just the way I was born. That's just who I am. That's just part of my DNA. That's just part of the world I live in. That's just part, that is just what it is. It is, that's just what it is. And there's nothing I can do about it. But friend, the reality is that 2,000 years ago, Jesus already did something about it. And a big part of the red life, the redeemed life, living the life of redemption, is this. If you want another simplified definition of what it means to live the redeemed life, it's this. It is refusing to accept bondage that Jesus died to set me free from. The red life is refusing to live life bound by a chain when Jesus has already broken the chain. The red life is saying to the world, to any area of bondage that exists, the red life is saying, you know what? Jesus died. I don't have to live my life carrying that junk anymore. That is the red life. But so many times we are quick to just accept, and just take on ourselves and just pick up whatever chain the world and its system, which has its roots rooted in sin, whatever chain it throws at us, we are quick to just pick them up and carry them through our lives going, I don't know what to do. I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have anywhere to turn. And we accept sin as if it's just a part of life. And instead of repenting of sin, and instead of asking God to set us free from sin, we justify our sin and we make reasons for why it's okay. Come on, somebody. Now, I'm not here to condemn anyone. I promise you, I look in the mirror and see my own sin and am disgusted by it as much as I would ever look at anyone else. And this is not condemning, but I do want to let you know, friend, you do not have to be bound to sin as a believer in Jesus Christ. We have bought this idea that says, well, you know, I'm a sinful person and I live in a sinful world and I'm just going to have to sin until I get to heaven. I thought I read somewhere in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 around verse 17 where Jesus said, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Now, if I'm a new creature in Christ, wouldn't it stand to reason that I do not have to do the things I used to do? Amen? Now, if you're struggling to get free, if you're struggling with stuff from your old life, this is not to condemn you, but I do want to let you know you don't have to carry it. And if you do pick it up, friend, there is forgiveness. There is grace. There is mercy. There is all that. But I will never, never, never accept in my life. Thank you, God, for forgiveness when I mess up and fail. But I will never make an excuse and look at myself and say, well, I just have to because that's just how it is. When Jesus said, I'm free indeed. Amen. The redeemed life is refusing to accept chains that the world's put on us. Sometimes we accept mindsets, thought patterns, ways of thinking that are of the world, that are rooted in our former selves. And see, that's why Jesus said in the Word of God says in Romans chapter 12 that we prove God's perfect will by the renewing of our mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. By the renewing, by the transforming of our mind. Okay? But we accept, we just live with these bad thought patterns. I could preach for the rest of my life on thought patterns that we need to have redeemed and that we need to let the Word of God redeem in our lives. Thought patterns that say you're nothing, you're nobody, you're no good. Thought patterns that say God isn't big enough and your situation is bigger than God. Thought patterns that say, well, I guess, you know, you understand what I'm saying? And if I sound angry, I'm not angry. I'm not mad. If I'm mad, I'm not mad at you anyway, but I am mad at the enemy, and I am mad at the lie that with a church for a very long time and that many believers allow themselves to be bound to, because here's what happens. We get so comfortable with a lie and we get so comfortable with bondage that we just cope with it. Amen? And then God begins to mess with some stuff. Jesus begins to pull on that chain and say, hey, you don't have to carry this depression. You don't have to carry this disease. You don't have to carry that anxiety. You don't have to carry that fear. You don't have to carry that negative attitude. You don't have to carry that bitterness. You don't have to carry all those things. And it gets uncomfortable because we've gotten so, I don't know if it's quiet in here because you guys are tired, or if I'm just hitting some, if I'm just stepping on toes or up in somebody's biscuits and gravy this morning. I don't know, but I feel this in my spirit today. We get uncomfortable because we've gotten so used to carrying this thing around. This is getting heavy, I'm not going to lie. This is about a 25-pound chain. We get so comfortable carrying that around that when Jesus begins to mess with it, it makes us uncomfortable. And when he begins to rattle something that says, hey, there's some stuff attached to your life that doesn't have to be, that I've redeemed you from, that I've set you free from. But we get so comfortable with it that here's the thing. We get comfortable with our bondage and uncomfortable with freedom. I gotta be careful here, because I don't want this to come across like I'm pointing a finger and sounding like some arrogant jerk who's just beating over the head with the Bible. I understand that sometimes we need help. I understand, and I thank God for medicine. I thank God for all medicine. I understand that there are things in our brain sometimes. There are wave patterns and chemical imbalances that thankfully God has given us medication for. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying any of that's a sin. I'm not saying it's wrong to do any of that. But I am just wondering, guys, I believe for me, free indeed means at some point, maybe I don't have to take a pill to get myself straightened out so that I can face my day. Come on, somebody. Now, see, if I was talking about heroin addiction, drugs, and alcohol, we'd be shouting and amening. Yeah, God can set you free from that. Guess what? God can set you free from your anxiety medication. God can set you free from your depression medication. Come on, somebody. God can set you free from anything that binds or hinders who God has called you to be. Amen? Now, I'm not telling you to go crazy and get off your medication. That's if you're mental, you understand what I'm saying? Get it clear. But I'm telling you, I don't have to accept that. And my goal can be, God, I'm going to refuse that. Now, I'll take the help while I can get it. But God, I'm believing God that set me free from that. Come on, somebody. See, so we start talking about freedom, and we our minds start going to these big sins that you know, drug addiction, heroin addiction, meth addiction, porn addiction, sex addiction, all these things that we see, and we don't want to talk about the little things that we're bound by that we sometimes don't even realize is bondage, because we've gotten comfortable with the chain. And we're more comfortable, we're more comfortable popping a pill to alleviate a symptom, God help me, than we are letting Jesus renew our mind through his word. And breaking the chain. You've been redeemed to be free indeed. Well, it's all about mental health and no. How about this? We carry on chains of unforgiveness and bitterness and hurt and rejection. And we can get so comfortable carrying those things around that all of a sudden Jesus starts to say, hey, start to hear some noise rattling. Hey, let me set you free from that. I've redeemed you from that hurt. I've redeemed you from that bitterness. I've redeemed you from that unforgiveness. But here's the thing, we can get so used to carrying that around that we don't know how to operate free. God help me. We don't know what it would be like to wake up in the morning and not be mad at somebody. We don't know what it would be like to wake up in the morning and not be bitter with somebody. We don't know what it would be like to see that person that wronged us in the grocery store and not want to choke him out, and not want to punch him in the face. and not go back to how they lied and how they hurt you and how they betrayed you. We don't know. And so we get comfortable holding on to this stuff. You see what I'm saying? I don't want to go on and on talking about specifics, because you think if I don't talk about your thing, then you're okay. I just want to let you know that anything that we hold that holds us back, anything that becomes a weight, anything that hinders our walk in our pursuit of Jesus Christ, friend, can be bondage. And it's something that Jesus has redeemed us from, so that we can live free indeed. Everybody say free indeed. The red life is refusing to accept bondage that Jesus died to set us free from. Now, I love this part. How many believe I can preach the rest of this message and not trip over that if I leave it there? Somebody's like, no, you're probably right. I probably can. Verse 32, John 8:32 says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Or other translations, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Make you free. Make you free. Make you free. Now, here comes the real good part that hopefully you'll get excited about. This is the part that makes me super excited. It's this, that when I come into contact with Jesus, who is truth, bondage has no power, authority, or ability to hold my life down anymore, as long as I'm willing to let it go. Because the truth will make me free. Amen. And I've got good news for some of you in this place this morning. Jesus has brought you here right now to this moment, and you are at the crossroads of where you are. You are at the place where you are right now, this morning, in this moment in your life. And I've got good news for you. Some of you are here today because Jesus wants to make you free. Jesus is rattling some chains in your heart, saying, I want to make you free from that. I want to make you free from that fear. I want to make you free from that doubt. I want to make you free from that unforgiveness. I want to make you free from that addiction. I want to make you free from that mindset. I want to make you free from whatever is holding you back from being who God has called you to be. And in Jesus' name, somebody today is about to get made free, and somebody ought to say amen. Now, here's how this works. He says, you will know the truth, and it is the truth that you know that will make you free. Here's a key principle of this, living free indeed, that I've got to understand. It's this: my freedom cannot grow beyond the truth that I do not know. My freedom will never outgrow the truth that I do not know. If I do not know that it's God's will to set me free in an area of my life, I will never experience an area of freedom in that area. In fact, in the Old Testament, the book of Hosea says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. What's he saying? He's saying you can't be free. You can't outgrow a truth you don't know, because the truth that makes you free. Now, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, Isaiah was talking about the anointing and talking about the Holy One, talking about the Messiah that was to come, Jesus. And he says this, he says, in that day, the yoke will be destroyed and the burden will be removed off of your shoulders because of the anointing. Everybody say the anointing. Other translations in the original King James say the yoke will be destroyed and the burden will be removed because of the fatness. Because of the fatness. And he was referencing old farming implements that were used in this primitive time. And obviously, as a bull, they would yoke oxen together with horses or mules or whatever beast of burden they were using to plow the fields. And as that animal would grow, they would have to grow the yoke with it, right? And as the animal grew, the yoke would have to either expand or the yoke would be broken. It wouldn't be effective anymore. And Isaiah looks at that and says, that's exactly how Jesus is going to set his people free. Jesus is going to work truth on the inside of people. And as people grow in the truth, the old yokes that held them in bondage won't fit anymore because they've grown so fat on the anointing. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? This is how Christ sets us free. I come into contact with the truth, who is Jesus. I know the truth, who is Jesus. I grow in my knowledge of the truth, who is Jesus. And as I grow in that knowledge, all of a sudden, the things the enemy used to have to bind me up don't fit anymore, and it doesn't bind me up anymore. What this means is this. This tells me this. That we so often come to church, and we live our spirit, we live our lives spiritually, we live our walk with God, always looking up to heaven, saying, God, I need you to intervene and send something down to take care of the thing that's on me. Something's on the way down. No, I'm kidding. Mute something back there. I don't have the type of attention span to not be distracted by that. So we're always looking up, saying, God, send something down. But the way this principle works is that often, instead of God sending something down, God wants to build something in. And God says, I want you to know the truth, and I want you to grow in the truth. And as the truth grows on the inside of you, see, I thought I was just overweight. I'm just anointed, people. I heard that. We'll let that go. Sorry. You're good. As the anointing grows on the inside of me, I grow spiritually and I grow in the truth, and all of a sudden the yoke is broken not because of what God did from the outside, sending something down from heaven, but what I allowed God to do on the inside, working something in me. So see, if you're struggling with some addiction, if you're struggling with some area, and there's a chain on your foot, there's a chain on your life, and you're saying, God, I know you've set me free from that. God, I want to be redeemed in that. I want to redeem that area. I want freedom to be won on that area. Guess what? It's not going to come. I promise you. It's not now. Now, when we encounter God, when we have altar calls, and we pray for people, and God moves, sometimes that is the start of something, or often, actually, sometimes it's the end of something. You understand what I'm saying? When God moves supernaturally in a moment and does bring some area of freedom, or does move what would seem to be externally onto your inside situation, what has often happened long before that is that God has been growing a truth on the inside of you, and that moment that looked like it came off externally and blessed your life, what actually happened was you finally got grown to the point in that truth that you were ready to explode out of you. Amen? And so what we need to do, instead of looking to the outside saying, God, do something from without on the end, we need to say, God, I need to get your truth on the inside and let it explode out. I will know the truth, and it's that truth that I know that will make me free. I cannot, my freedom will never outgrow a truth that I do not know. Now I've got one more thing to share, and then I'll be done. This is really important to understand this. Jesus is specifically talking to religious people, church people, Jewish people, people who know the Old Testament, people who know Moses, people who are very righteous, people who are very upstanding, people who follow the rules, people who are very legalistic, people who understand the Old Testament God of Jehovah, and they understand all of the things. Jesus is speaking specifically to them. And if you read that again, he says, you will know and the truth will make you free. They get indignant, and they get a little offended, and they're like, yo, we're children of Abraham, meaning we're Jewish people. We're children of the Old Testament. We're children of Abraham, and we have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean we need to be set free? We're not bound with anything to begin with. You know, there are two types of people that my heart breaks for. One is the person that's been set free and doesn't know it. The person that willingly carries chains around their lives that Jesus has already destroyed in their lives and just continues to pick them up and walk around them. That breaks my heart. You know the second person that breaks my heart? Is the person that is bound and refuses to see it. And religion, when I say religion, I want you, because you might have a different definition. When I say religion, I mean this. I mean the assumption that because I go somewhere or do something, that makes me okay with God. The assumption that God is pleased because of what I do, not that I'm saved because of what he's done. That is our definition of religion. Religion focuses on my ability to perform and is negligible when it comes to what God has already done for me. You understand what I'm saying? A relationship with Jesus realizes that I have no right, that as good as I am, I'm still not good enough, and Jesus has been good enough for me. Amen? We all on the same page there? So that's what I mean when I say religion. Now, that type of religion that puts the onus on me and puts the ability of my salvation and puts the ability for me to please God on my own ability to be good, on my own ability to follow the rules, on my own ability to be a good person, on my own ability to do what I'm supposed to do, on my own ability to be a righteous person, guess what? That is bondage. And it's some of the worst kind of bondage, because it's bondage that will blind me from the reality that I need the truth to set me free at all. And that's what they are. That's where they are. That's who Jesus is talking to. And Jesus is saying, you guys are moral people. You guys do the right thing. You guys know the scripture. You guys follow the Ten Commandments. You go to church every single Sunday. You do all the stuff you're supposed to do. But he says, guys, you're still not living free indeed. Because you think that you are somehow special, or that you are somehow earning God's grace or earning God's favor because of what you've done. And the reality is, when I live my life with that sort of cycle, it becomes a type of bondage that can be very difficult to break. Because then God's only pleased with me when I'm good. And when I'm bad, God's going to be displeased with me. And I better be good to do the right things. But here's the reality. God is not pleased with me because of how good or how bad I am in a moment. God is pleased with me because of how perfect Jesus was 2,000 years ago. And he earned the perfection, lived the perfection that I can never live up to. So it in fact sets me free to receive God's grace and to receive God's mercy and to receive God's love and to receive God's affection regardless of my own ability or inability to perform. This is something I still struggle with every day, maybe every few days now. But the moment that I began to really let myself believe that God loves me the same at my worst, and he doesn't love me any more or any less at my best, I began to experience true freedom. I began to understand just a little bit of what it meant to be free indeed. Free to know God at my worst moments, free to know God at my best moments, and free to know God at all the in-between mundane moments that make up life. Free indeed. Stand all over this place this morning. Don't let religion hold you back and become just another bondage around your neck. And friend, don't let religion blind you to areas that Jesus, through his redemption, wants to set you free from. And Red Life Church, don't think that because we don't have pews and don't sing out of a songbook and that because I don't wear a collar and a black suit every Sunday morning, don't think that that doesn't mean that we can't be bound up by religion in here. Well, we have guitars and we have cool videos and we have cool lights and we have these great chairs and the preacher wears jeans and he talks, you know, kind of cool, I guess. I don't know. He makes jokes and it's not real serious all the time. So, man, we don't have any religion. If you think because you showed up here and put your time in and punched a clock for God and that somehow earned you some favor with God this week, that's religion. It doesn't matter if you went to the Catholic Church, a Presbyterian Church, a Baptist Church, a non-denominational church, Spirit-filled church, charismatic church, whatever church. Listen. If you think just because you showed up here that somehow that means you're all cool and you're all good and there's nothing to be dealt with in your life, friend, that's religion. Don't let religion blind you from the fact that God wants you to be free. I'm going to read one last scripture, and then we're going to pray. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." Let me just drill down on that first statement for just a second. The sole purpose that Jesus set you free was so that you could have freedom. Think about that for a second. He set us free so that we could actually have freedom. He opened the prison door so that you could actually walk out of it. He broke the power and the authority of sin, death, hell, and the grave, so that you could actually live in what he has done. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So he says, stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Do not pick back up what Jesus has taken off of you. Do not carry again what Christ has broken off of you. Stand firm. Means you might have to fight for it once in a while. Some of the mindsets and stuff I talked about, listen, that can be a years-long struggle daily. Because every day you wake up, and I'm glad this has a hook on it. I didn't plan that. But every day you wake up, the enemy is there with a hook and a chain to dig into your mind, to dig into your heart. Way back in Genesis, when Cain killed Abel, and God was confronting Cain with the murder of his brother Abel, God said to Cain, he said this in around Genesis, around chapter 5. He said, "Sin is crouching at your door because it desires to have you." When you wake up, the enemy's there, ready to chain you up with something, ready to chain you up with doubt, ready to chain you up with fear, ready to chain you up with addiction, ready to chain you up with depression, ready to chain you up with anxiety, ready to chain you up with bitterness, ready to chain you up with whatever. This lets me know that I might have to fight some of that off once in a while. And I might have to do it every day. And I might have to do it 10 times a day. And I might have to do it 10 times a day for 10 years. I don't care how much I've got to do. If Jesus has set me free from it, I am going to stand firm in the freedom that he's given me and refuse to be burdened again by anything that God has set me free from. Free indeed. Free indeed. Free indeed. Are you ready to cast off some yokes in your life this morning? Come on, somebody. Are you ready to say no to some junk the enemy is trying to put on you? Are you ready to break some mindsets that the enemy is trying to place on you? Are you ready to experience some freedom in area? Listen, in fact, right now, in the name of Jesus, I sense by the Holy Spirit that God is telling someone, God is dealing with someone on something that you have thought that you will never be free from. I'm telling you, God's telling me that right now. I don't know what it is. Somebody, God has been dealing with you right now this morning as we've been talking about something. And your mind, the minute God brought that up in your heart, in your spirit, your mind said, that's never something I'll be free from. That's, I'm going to have to deal with that for the rest of my life. I'm telling you, God wants to set you free from that right now this morning. God wants to set you, God wants to put something inside of you that will begin to grow inside of you, and eventually that yoke is going to be destroyed as you grow in that truth. I'm sorry, the Holy Spirit is just bringing stuff to my mind. Someone's been carrying around a hurt. It might be some abuse from your past that you've carried around. You thought, I'm just going to have to live with this for the rest of my life. God wants to set you free from that. God wants to set you free from that this morning. Will you just bow your heads with me and close your eyes for a moment? Let the Holy Spirit begin to speak. Let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to your heart. I'm going to pray. The band is going to lead us in worship for another few moments. If there's an area in your life that you want freedom from, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you this morning to make this step. It's not necessarily about, there's nothing magical about the altar. There's nothing. God can move in your seat. Yes, He can. Just as much as He can at anywhere else in the world, in an altar anywhere else. But there is something about responding and stepping out from where you are that seems to just say, God, I'm stepping out from this thing from the past. And I'm getting.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow Him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.